Gonna start again because I didn't press the recording button. So this week is Parshas Boy. God says to Moshe, come to Pharaoh because I've hardened his heart in order to do all these miracles that I'm going to do in him and his people, and you're going to tell your children and your children's children the mockery that I made of Egypt. This idea of making a mockery of Egypt is very unusual to find in the Torah. So, as far as I can remember now, every year I come to this parsha, I try and tackle the Zohar. There's an amazing Zohar Kodesh, and every year I tackle it, and every year, you know, the Zohar comes out completely unscathed. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Hashta is legalo or rose. Now is the time for revealing secrets. These secrets, the inun mistabkin, la'elo elasato, they connect the highest and the lowest. So with that he begins this week's parsha. Maksiv, what's written here? Boy El Pare. God says to Moshe, come to Pharaoh. Lech el paroi mi boile. It should have written, God should have said, go to Pharaoh. My boy, what does it mean, come? Elo, this is what it means, says Reb Shimon by Yechoy. The Ayil Lekut Shebrichu, the Holy Blessed One, takes Moshe up. Idrin bosa idrin. Rooms, inside rooms, inside rooms. Till to the innermost chamber, legabit tanin echad ilo atakifo, till they reach this vast, powerful serpent, a single supernal serpent. Dekame dargin mishtashlim minei. There's many levels that come out of this serpent. Uman you, what are these? What is this serpent? Rozo de Tanin Hagodol. This is the mystery of the great serpent. Umoshe dochel mine. And Moshe was afraid of it. V'loy kriv, and he couldn't get close. He couldn't grapple with it. He couldn't make war with it. Ele regabe inin yoirin. Moshe could only approach and deal with the rivers that flow from it and the levels that come out of it. But for the serpent itself, he was afraid and he couldn't make war. Begin to chamele, because he could see that the serpent itself, mishtarish b'shroshin iloin, is rooted in very, very high roots. Kiven dechama kuchibrichu de dochel Moshe. When God sees that Moshe is afraid, and not just Moshe, v'shlichun memanon achrinen le'elo, and other messengers, ministering angels, that God instructs to go and deal with this serpent, Le'yochlin, Le'krav, Le'gabe, and they are all unable to get close. Omar Kachibrichu, so the Holy Blessed One says, and here Reb Shimon quotes a verse in Ezekiel, Hineni Alecho Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. Behold, I am upon you, Pharaoh, King of Egypt, Hatanim Hagodol, the great serpent, who squats in his river. And it's God who has to come and confront it in war. And nobody else can do that. As it is written, Ani Hashem. God says, I am God. Elsewhere we find, you know, Pharaoh always refers to himself, Ani Paroi, you know, I am Pharaoh. So God says, I am God. V'kmuhu rozu d'chochmesa. And this as we taught it, this is the secret of Chachma, the Hatanim, Hagodal Harovitz B'Toch Yo'irav Le'inim Orim Meidin. These are the secrets that are revealed to the masters of judgment, the Yodim Berozin de Morehan, who are aware and who know the secrets of their master. They are the ones who teach the secrets of Chochmah around the Tanim Agoda. Then what follows are a number of pages in the Zohar where Reb Shimon talks about the meaning of Tanim, the serpent, and why the serpent is the first living things that God says, let the waters teem with life. And then says, and God created the great serpents. There, Rashi tells us, brings the Gemara, that the word taninim in Bereshis is written taninam, as though there were only singular. There's a yud missing in the word taninim, that immediately they were created, God killed the female serpent and castrated the male so that they would not multiply. This is a very challenging Zohar Kodesh. So the Zohar Kodesh answers his own question: why does it say Boy El Paroi, come to Pharaoh? Why doesn't it say Lech, go? Because Moshe can't go. Moshe is powerless in the face of this Pharaoh. He's afraid. He's just afraid. Nachamal, the Zohar says again, he's afraid, he's afraid, he's afraid. What's he afraid of? God said to him, go make war with Pharaoh. The Zohar Kodesh is trying to point out something that in advance God knows, you know, that Moshe can't, but Moshe has to, you know, be confronted with the invulnerability of Pharaoh, and then God, so to speak, is provoked into dealing with Pharaoh on his own. And so the whole Sedra, this parasha is a dramatic setup that God says to Moshe, come, I'm going to show you. And so we have the last of the plagues, the final three plagues. The plague of Arba, locust. This corresponds to the sphere of Bina. And then there's the plague of Choshech, darkness. This corresponds to the sphere of Keter. And then we encounter the Makkos Bechoros, the slaying of the firstborn. And this is the sphere of Chochmah. So, as much as I try to grasp what's happening, why Moshe isn't just, what is it that Moshe sees? You know, it's very interesting, it's very telling that Egypt is where the Western civilization is born. From Egypt, it moves to Greece. The ideas that are born here in Egypt are becoming more and more topical. You know, Judaism, we have something. A word worship, right? We celebrate the word And our Torah, the basis of all our commandments, the Ten Commandments, is the first prohibition is to avoid images. And it doesn't matter whether the images, what they are of, just to not go there. And so for the last 3,500 years, we have been isolating ourselves from Western culture with the word. You know, the first word of the Aseres HaDibro is Anoichi. God says, I, and the Gemara says, is an atarikon, it's an abbreviation of the phrase Ano Nafshoi Kesivas Yehovis, I myself have written and given. So, as it were, God writes himself into the Torah and gives us the Torah, and all our appreciation of the divine, all our imagery of the divine, all our imagination is focused and guided by the word. Moshe is in Mitzrayim. The Yidden are in Mitzrayim. And frankly, we are in Mitzrayim. Image is invented in Mitzrayim. You know, Paro is different from other kings. You know, when Yehoshua, with the Yidden, they come into the land and we conquer the land, there's 36 kings, which is another way of saying every shtetl has a king. Jericho has a king. Ai has a king. They all have. Everyone has a king. King doesn't mean what it means in Mitzrayim. In Egypt, there's one king. Well, you know, Egypt is like 5 miles wide, 600 miles long. There's an upper Egypt and a lower Egypt. How do you have one king who rules the whole country? The way it's done is by putting the image of a king inside the head of every man, woman, and child in the kingdom. I mean, the idea of image, that you can take an idea of a hierarchy and impress that into the psyche of a human being. This was invented there. And what we have in the world today, you know, with cinema, television and the internet, we have moved away from the word, and we are going back to the idea of Mitzrayim. We have been doing this now for 100 years, and really people need to be aware, you know, of how we've moved away from the ascendancy, the triumph of the word in Western culture, and we are, you know, Western culture is moving back to its roots in Egypt, which is that in order for things to work, there has to be inside a human person's mind an image of a human. And that image has layered all kinds of order, rules, beauty, elegance, all those things with which we keep our fear at bay, the fear of the chaos of nature, whatever it is, those things that we're afraid to look at. We keep those at bay by having these images. And you know, for thousands of years we have had the Torah, but we've gone back into Mitzrayim. And, you know, lucky are those who can hold on to the Torah and stay with the word. And those of us who deal with images have to understand what the power of that is. And it's so powerful that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he encounters the Shroshov, like the Zohar Kodesh says, that the roots are so high. Begin the Chamole, because he could see that it was Mishtarish Mishroshin Eloin. So, if we have a look in Yecheskel, in the 29th chapter of Yecheskel, Bashona Asiris, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, God's word came to me and said, Ben Odom, listen, man, Simponecho al Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, put your face to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, Vihinobe Olav, and prophesy against him, Va'al Mitzrayim Kula, and against the whole of Egypt. Daber v'omar, to speak and say, Koyomar Hashem Elikim, so says the Lord God, Hineni Alecho Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, behold, I am on you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Hatanim Hagodol, the great serpent, Horoivetz B'toich Yo'irov, who crouches in his river. Asha Omar, he says, Li Yo'iri, it's my river, Va'ani Asitini, and I made myself. You know, what an idea. There's only one pharaoh, right? Doesn't matter if there's 30 dynasties, there's only one pharaoh. They're all pharaoh. And they all believe that they made themselves. That's the Egyptian god-king myth, right? That their king, it says, their god says in their myths that he impregnates himself, he ejaculates into his own mouth, and he gives him birth to himself. That's the Egyptian myth of their king and their river. And their... So here we have an image of Paroi, the great serpent, who crouches in his river. You know, here you have like these are two images. You know, the serpent is the male, and the river is the female. And Paroi, he's the male in the female, or the female male female, it's like whatever it is, he makes himself, right? It's my river, he says, I make myself. You know, when I forget which Seder it was we were learning, that before the creation of the world, there's darkness. What kind of darkness is this, right? I mean, if we are to imagine God, we can't imagine darkness. So God creates a darkness before the light. And this light, you know, is something that shines through the darkness. Like, for instance, we were talking about if we can't imagine the light that is God, but let's imagine a wall of darkness that hides God. And now, when God says, Yihi Or, let there be light, what happens is like there's a pinprick of a hole that comes through the wall of darkness. And that is, you know, this tiny little light that comes through the wall, this tells us what there is on the other side of the darkness, that there's the divine light. And what comes through is just a pinprick. And that's all the light in the universe is just that pinprick of light that has come through the darkness. And then we went to the next stage to look if we focus on this little pinprick of light. Imagine you're in this completely dark chamber. The only way that you can see any light is that comes through a window. And this window is a stained glass window. So your idea of light would be what you see as the stained glass. Just imagine that this stained glass window is the perfect portrait of a person, then light will come to you, light will look like a person. We were saying that the Yehi Oyer, God saying, let there be light. If we approach the dark and we look at the shape of the light, that pinprick of light, we will see that it is a human shape. Because that is how God wants to be known, through us. So, as we approach the darkness, we see that the Yehi Oyer, that pinprick of light that tells us what's on the other side, has our own shape, which is another way, you know, a roundabout way of saying that we can only imagine God somehow in looking at ourselves. You know, our ideas matter shapes the imagination as much as the imagination shapes ideas. And that's how God wanted it to be. Before there's words of the Torah, people are struggling to understand who the Creator is. You know, every culture, since the dawn of time, everybody had ideas of what nature is, what creation is, and they all start out with these Mother Earth. And then, you know, some cultures, some religions become, you know, Father Heaven. You know, the way the Torah is set out, you know, God is so obviously the Father, right? You know, a lot of feminists are really mad about it. Why God in the Torah is masculine, you know? But there's no other way of getting away from those earth mother cults. And the Torah keeps on, you know, stressing. And yes, last week we were learning about Va'era Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Bekel Shakai. There's the element of the mother, you know, and the nourishing breasts. You know, this is true, but Yudke Vovke gets away from, but Yudke Vovke can only be understood in terms of the letters Yudke Vovke. When there's no letters, when we don't have an alphabet, when we're in Egypt and we haven't come to Sinai and we haven't been given an alphabet, we don't know what Yud Kei Vav Kei is. What we have are these Egyptian ideas. I mean, at least in Egypt, you know, they managed to get out of the morass of, you know, worshipping the river. And Paroi reifies himself as this idea of the eye, the sun. Ich weiß was, has got all this mishigas, right? But when Moshe comes up in Shemayim, when Moshe comes up to heaven, he realizes that Paroi is there in the place where we are struggling to understand what is God, right? At this point, we can't really separate. We can, you know, with the B'nai Yisrael, and how are we to understand if we haven't been given the Torah on Sinai, we haven't been given, you know, we haven't been given the words and the letters and the commandments, how are we to understand who the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is? It's very hard for us to do that. It's very hard to get away. And if we are to get away from, if we are to destroy the Egyptian king god image, you know, if we are to get rid of image, people say, you know, what is the police force, right? In any average city, the police force a house somewhere in a neighborhood where you got police drinking tea and going out, getting in their cars and driving around. What's to stop 100 Ganovim, you know, going and getting rid of the local police force? You know, it would take them 15 minutes, right? In any, you know, if you go into a prison, you got thousands and thousands of prisoners, you got a few hundred guards. What's to stop the majority overrunning that minority, right? It's the image, right? That inside our heads, we all have these policemen. You know, there's a policeman, if I go through this red light, there could be a policeman at the corner there, you know, parked in his car, he'll stop me from blowing through the red light. There's a policeman inside my head that keeps me from doing half the things that I want to do. That's the image. We can't really separate who we are from the images that we carry. When HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe, go, there's Pharaoh, you know, he is the serpent in the river. The Egyptians are the first ones who really manage to, you know, pull themselves out of the river, and they've got this male god who's king and stuff like that. And at that point, that's the clearest, the closest that we are to being able to, we are so caught up in this image, this mamish, this image. And the Gemara says that when we come to the Red Sea, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously threatening to drown all the Egyptians in it, the angels, you know, they come and they say, Halolu oivdei avodah zarah v'halolu oivdei avodah zarah. Rabbeinu Shelayim, if you look into the hearts of the Egyptians and you look into the hearts of the Jews, they're working with the same image. A bunch of pagans, all of them. What's the difference? And this is the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu has, you know, when he comes up there, he can't really deal with it. And what does it say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hineni Olecho, because Ani Hashem, I am Yudke Vovke. I'm going inside every Yid. It's already there, the Yudke Vovke. That, you see, Paroi, when he says to Moshe, how are you going to get rid of me without getting rid of God? You can't. And that's the meaning of Nishtarash Bishrosho Elo. He said, if you take away all this image making, what's left? Yes, well, the Yidden are going to go back to worshipping an earth mother? You need me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hineni Olecho, I the Yudke Vavke, I am going to open up inside every Yid, and there's no Pharaoh there. There's no earth mother, there's no river, there's no serpent. This is the purity of the word. To get to this purity of the word, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to open us up. Because we're so fed on these images all the time, it's very hard for us to, you know, to break off or to break away. And that's what Pari was saying to Moshe. No slave has ever run away from Egypt, because you couldn't run away from Egypt, because Egypt is an idea inside your head. That's the meaning of the Gemara. Gemara says that no slave had ever run away from Egypt. Because even if you tried to run away, the ideas that were there, they stayed inside you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, because of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, because of the sacrifices that they've made and the way that they opened themselves up, in spite of not having Yudke Vavke revealed to them, inside the head where they're unconscious. And here we enter the unconscious. And that's the meaning of these three, the upper three, Sefiros of Bina, Kesa, and Chochma. and the three plagues of Borot, of Arba, Choshech HaMakos B'Choyros, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and inside, you know, Ayid is in worship. And because Ayid is in worship, so I'm connected to them. Because I'm connected to them, so I'm the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei inside them all the time. Pari doesn't even exist.